WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
It's just a day for worship today, you know what I mean? Some days it's just a day for worship. And I feel that today. And I like to be led by the Spirit here with what we do. And then do, Lord. And it's always a good time for that. There is no handout today, but there's plenty of room to write on the back side of the bulletin. You'll see some lined paper there, lined sheet of paper on the back of the bulletin. If you need one, if you didn't get one, just raise your hand. We're looking today at the murder of John the Baptist, amongst other things. We're in the 14th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew this week. We left off looking at the mysteries of the kingdom in chapter 13 last week. We learned last week that not everyone that wants to enter into the kingdom of heaven will be able to. So great hearing the comments, Dwayne and Darren and some others on the last week's sermon, provoking people to think, and that's what I love to hear. Love to hear that these sermons will provoke you to dig deeper into the Word. Because Jesus really astounds us with some of these things that He says to us. Not everyone who wants to enter the kingdom of heaven will be able to. For most of the Sermon on the Mount, that's what we heard. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But on the contrary, he who does. You see, it's not everyone who hears, but it's he who does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now let's pick it up here, Matthew chapter 14. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Bill, it's so good to see you back in your favorite seat. It's been a long time coming. And we're grateful for the hand of God on you to get you back here to Merritt Island safe and sound again. Matthew 14, 1. Now at that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the report about Jesus. All right, this is Herod Antipas, or Antipasta. Ruler in Galilee. And he said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead. And therefore, these powers are at work in him. All right, now Herod and others apparently expected John the Baptist to have great powers, did they not? And yet, we're never told that he had any one of these powers whatsoever like this. So Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist, coming back from the dead for some reason. Now there is some bad theology. Don't you remember, fool, what happened to your daddy, Herod the so-called great, when worms came out of him? This is his son. I'm sure people were telling Herod that Jesus was the promised Messiah, born or came out of Bethlehem, the same city his father slaughtered everyone under 2 years old. Have you guys been to Bethlehem? It's run by Muslims now, isn't it? But then again, on the other hand, seeing John the Baptist again the second time after his demise could very well happen. Who knows? Maybe one of the two witnesses will be John the Baptist, because John the Baptist is who, church? Elijah. Jesus says, he is Elijah who is to come, if you're willing to receive this. Right? Then his disciples understood. He talked to them about John the Baptist. What a mysterious man this is. And he fits right along into what I've been preaching and teaching these last couple years. The Bible is supernatural. Therefore, the people in it are supernatural. I mean, get your mind around this verse, John 1:6. There was a man sent from, well, paratheou. Means there was a man sent from alongside of God, whose name was John. Think about that one this week. There was a man sent from alongside of God. And he came for a witness. How can you come for a witness to someone you don't know or you've never seen? He came from alongside of God, from God. That's like saying there was a man sent from the cable company whose name was Bill. And he came to fix your cable. Where did Bill come from? Then he knows everybody there. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. My point is, the Bible is supernatural. Don't limit it by your walnut brain. God's bigger than you. Did you know that? God is smarter than you. God is older than you. God does not sin. Triple amen. The two witnesses, that's not my sermon today. But we're on John the Baptist, and my point is, as always, is that John is supernatural. A couple Wednesday nights ago, we discovered that baptism was supernatural, right? There's more to that than meets the eye. It's not just dunking down. There's spiritual significance. Great things can happen to you in the waters of baptism because it's supernatural. It's not run-of-the-mill. I put it to you that Holy Communion is supernatural. And if you do it right, great things can happen to you when you pray. Bad things can happen to you if you do it wrong. It says many sleep, many are dead, not discerning the Lord's body. Certainly good things can happen if you do it right. Right? Because Holy Communion is supernatural. The Antichrist comes out of the bottomless pit, not out of Schenectady, not out of Phoenix or Portland. Or Dallas or Detroit, he comes from the bottomless pit. I put it to you, the Antichrist has already lived. He's already lived. The two witnesses have already lived. They were alive in Zechariah's day. He said, these are the two olive branches that stood before the Lord of all the earth. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Look it up. That put them alive in the year 444 B.C. Supernatural book. John is supernatural. That's why these guys don't know what to make out of him. This is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, they said. Therefore, these powers are at work in him. Verse 3, for Herod had laid hold of John and bound him, and he put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had said to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. You see, this is what happens to preachers that don't sugarcoat things and preach the truth. Sooner or later, they get killed. Or they get fired. Or they get put in prison. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, woe to you when all men speak well of you. This is why I never trust a pastor that everyone loves. I want a pastor everyone hates. Imagine the pastor that Barack Obama wanted to speak at his inaugural. Because if you're a true man, a God like John, you'll be opposed to gay marriage. And if you're opposed to gay marriage, believe me, you won't be speaking at any Democratic function. Because Democrats have drunk the Kool-Aid and they're on the highway to hell. You heard it here. Like John the Baptist, I'm going to preach to you the truth. Lock me up if you want. Fire me if you want. You can't kill me yet, but the year is still young. And if you doubt me, come see me after the service and we'll talk. And either you'll see it my way or I'll call you a counterfeit too. One of the leaders of the Democratic Party said the other day, if you are not an unconditional supporter of abortion, you cannot be a member of the Democrat Party. You do this to yourself, it's not me. You can't be a Christian and follow that. They've knocked you out of the party. Never used to be that way when Kennedy was alive. They would throw Kennedy out of the party today for what he believes.
Believed. Well, I run one out. Anybody else want to leave?
Huh? How about you, worship leader? I know where you live.
Hey, I'm not saying anything to you that's not true. I'm not a Republican. But don't tell me I have to support gay marriage, because God calls it an abomination. An abortion is murder. It is what it is. Don't fall in line with people that believe that. Be an independent. Or stay away from politics. This is what I learned. Didn't I share it with you all a couple weeks ago? Satan's got a grip of everyone. Here you are, a Republican, and you hate. You hate what's happened to the country. You hate the people that have torn up the Declaration of Independence. You hate all the evil in the world, right? So this group here is full of hate. And over here, you got the Democrats who have, like we saw before, Jesus hatred syndrome. What did I call it? Jesus derangement syndrome, JDS. Like Trump derangement syndrome. It started with Jesus. Jesus derangement syndrome, where you hate the man and everything that he does. And the Bible doesn't even say they wanted to kill him. It said they wanted to destroy him. They had Jesus derangement syndrome. So when the smoke clears, either you hate from over here or you hate from over there. And Satan's laughing, because all you do is hate. So I suggest something different. Why don't you go out here and spread the gospel to people? Because we're living in darkness, Bill. In the middle of it right now, the darkness is not something that's coming. The darkness is here today. And now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. That's what I believe. I hate politics. But I love this country. I served in it too. I had hydraulic fluid running down to the hairs of my arm at 119 degrees. With scorpions and rattlesnakes all around me. I love this country as much as everyone else. But I'm not going to be driven by hate, because Jesus tells me the greatest of these things is love. By this all men will know that you love the brethren. Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. By this we know we've passed from death into life, that we love the brethren. John 13:35, by this all men will know you're my disciples, that you love one another. Satan wants you to hate people. God's calling you to love people. So if you find something that makes you hate, get away from it. Even if these people are right, you can't hate. It'll destroy you. It's like holding on to a grudge against someone that's done you wrong. And you're angry because that person hurt you, and you don't let go of it, and you won't forgive them. That's like you drinking poison and waiting for them to drop dead. You die from drinking poison. They continue carefree. They don't even care. Matthew 6:14, if you forgive men their trespasses, then your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses either. How in the world did we get down there today? Verse 5. Before we read verse 5, here's a tidbit on Herodias. Herodias is the daughter of Aristobulus, another son of Herod the so-called Great. So when she married Philip, she was marrying her own father's brother. What precipitated the arrest of John the Baptist was that Herod Antipas, another one of her uncles, talked Herodias into leaving her husband, his brother, in order to marry him, thus compounding the incest, as well as violating Leviticus 18:16. John was outraged that a ruler in Israel would commit such a sin openly. So he severely rebukes Herod. That's what got him into jail and caused all this ruckus. Verse 5. Now, although he wanted to put him to death, speaking of Jesus, he feared the multitude because they counted him. No, I'm sorry. Speaking of John the Baptist, I take that back. Although he wanted to put him, John, to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was celebrated, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod. Therefore, he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. So she, having been prompted by her mother, said, "Give me John the Baptist's head here on a platter." Not the request I'm sure he expected. Mark records it this way. Immediately, she came in with haste and said, "I want you to give you at once to give me the head of John the Baptist." Can you see her run, slipping on a banana peel on the way back in there? Immediately, she came in with haste and said, "I want you at once to give me John the Baptist's head." This family hated John the Baptist. Mark records this statement about Herod. Herod feared John, knowing he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. Sorry to say here, church, that Herod was more concerned with his reputation than doing the right thing. I love the website and the phrase. I think Darren gave it to me before. It's called Man Up. Have you ever seen them? A lot of the men here. Nodding their heads here. Man up. It's time to man up. It's time to confess you made a mistake and man up to it. Don't let your stubborn pride be the death of you. Have you ever met someone that's never said they're sorry for anything? Right, Fran? What's it like being married to someone like that? You know what I mean? Man up. These two truths we can glean from this. Number one, sometimes you and I are more worried about our reputation than we're doing the right thing. Number two, when you're bound up in sin, you cannot think clearly. When you are bound up in sin, you cannot think clearly. You lose your ability to think clearly when you're walking in the flesh. You just can't do it. Galatians 5, 16, and 17. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts..." You see, this is like Mothra against Godzilla. And Frankenstein and the Wolfman. This is a fight. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other, so that ye... What's it say? Cannot. Louder? Cannot. You might not? Cannot. Probably can't? Cannot. When you are operating in the flesh, you cannot hear from God and do the things that you would. The things you should. You can't do it. And this is where Herod was at. This is where Herod was at. Why did Herod do this? Why didn't he do the right thing? I mean, I always wondered that. I mean, this is what I would have done. You people are manipulating me. I don't care how much egg is on my face. I'm not going to kill this man. Because I'm king. And I was wrong. I always wondered, why didn't he do this? Because he was walking in the flesh. And he cannot do the things that he would, and the things that he could, and the things that he should. When you're operating in the flesh, You cannot hear from God. Can I get a witness in this church? Is there any other sinners here? Do you know what I mean? God, I hate that feeling. Maybe it's way, way back, way back. Maybe it's yesterday. You're not an outcast if it was, but you just know what I mean, that when you're walking in the flesh, you just, God seems so far away. And you lose that connection. Like that picture, it's broken. When you're walking in the flesh. And this is what happened to this man. When you do this, you can't think clearly and you can't do the things that you should. You're on a highway to hell when you walk in the flesh. I could go on reading. I know it says there that those that, what does it say again? Those that walk in the flesh, you must die. Greek word melai, M-E-L-L-E-I, means must. Like when Jesus said, today, I must be at your house, or I must be about my Father's business. The same Greek word says for those that walk in the flesh must die. Let's skip down to verse 22. Verse 22, Jesus walks on water. I so much wanted my fisherman buddies to be here today. Told them I was going to speak on this. Now immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. All right, he had just fed the 5,000. Verse 23, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening had come, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. Greek word, phantasm. Where is Shaggy and Scoopy when you need them? A phantom. So they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. But that's not what he said. He said, be of good cheer.
Ego eimi.
That's the name of God. He said, be of good cheer.
I am.
That's what he said to them. It's the name of Jehovah. Don't worry. It's me. It's Jehovah God. Do not fear.
Me phobu. Ego eimi.
So Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, then command me to come to you on the water. So he said, Elphe. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on water to go to Jesus. What a great miracle this is. We skip over it so many times, but this is like walking through the door on the day of the Lord. When Jesus didn't have to open the door after he was raised up. He walked through a door. This is like raising the dead. This is like calming the wind. This is another supernatural miracle. Walking on water. Think about that, a man or a woman walking on water. But when he saw, the wind was boisterous. Okay, I've had fishermen on my radio for 3 years now. And surprising to me, the one thing that matters to them the most, they call it 3 feet at 2 seconds, 4 feet at 5 seconds, 2 foot at 6 seconds. What are you guys talking about? 2 feet at 2 seconds is there's 2 foot waves that are going to hit your boat in 2 seconds. Or 2 feet at 7 seconds. That's a fisherman's paradise. That means every 7 seconds, maybe a 2 foot wave is going to hit you. But when they read the report, 7 feet at 2 seconds, all the fishermen stay home. Think about it. A 7 foot wave is going to hit your 19 foot skeeter. every 2 seconds. And this is what Peter did. Peter's a fisherman. So, when he saw the wind, oh, I can see him now. Now I got a better understanding of this. He's walking on the water. He goes, 12 feet at 2 seconds. Yikes. I'm in trouble. And once he did that, you see, once he took his eyes off of Jesus and said, 12 feet at 2 seconds, that was all she wrote. And walking on the water can be anything. It can be going to Jerusalem. When all your friends say, no, don't go. There's trouble over there. Or start a business. I want you to leave it all, leave your job, though you're all comfortable, and start a business. That's your walking on water. You're going to start a business. And then your friends come. They tug at your shoulder. No, you shouldn't do that. And then you take your eyes off Jesus and then down you go. It's as simple as that. Remember 12:2, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and archegon, trailblazer, pioneer of your faith. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus and you can do anything. And this is what happened to Peter. As a fisherman, hanging around fishermen, I now can understand what happened. When he looked around and saw, he got distracted. That's what happened to him. When he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and he began to sink. So he cried out saying, Kyrie, save me. Church, people can distract you all the time by the things that they say to you. They don't have your vision. Remember what Paul said. He said when he received the vision in Galatians 1:16, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood. That means he didn't sit around and ask people, what do you think about this? God's called me to be an apostle. What thinkest thou? Now, if you're married and God calls you to do something, guess what? He's going to tell your spouse the same thing. You're going to be in agreement. Were you guys, when you went to Israel, were you in agreement? Did the Holy Spirit give you something that you just knew that you knew that you knew?
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with the treasure from the Word.
Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that is, run down by Satan, trapped and snared by a fault, then we are to restore him. Now, a brother can be restored. That's good news. If you've gotten away from God, our God is a God of a second chance. Do you know somebody who's been overtaken with a fault? Well, the Bible says you're to restore him. Do you know what that word means? It's a tech